Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Oh, boy. All right, let's jump into it here inside of our Quicken Loan studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. 3 hours here on the show, across the country, SiriusXM 206 as well. 855-212-4227, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. We'll get to the World Series, obviously start tonight in Boston. We'll get to LeBron's clank job, Rick Clankage.
Reminds me of a couple years ago when you said, you can't make free throws. Uh-huh. Nobody ever pays attention to it.
Now they do, and the numbers support that. Matter of fact, I got something for you that's even worse than I thought. But, Teak, listen, I know I've got a lot to say about what we watched. First of all, as you know, as New York football fans and as a Giant, but as just as football fans, I actually think I was getting dumber by the second, which is a problem for me because I'm not the smartest guy in the world. So anytime a little intelligence is stripped away from my brain,
yes,
that's not good for my future.
Yes.
I got dumber watching that circus, but you take over, you go where you want, I will lay out, and then I will get into what I have to get into.
It's
take it away, Mr. Giant.
Well, look, I'm not emotional at this point. I think that the New York Giants are exactly where they kind of thought they were going to be at this point. Maybe if they got lucky, they were going to find lightning in a bottle and be amazing to start this season. But remember I said this at the beginning, BT, very beginning. I said the Giants have a rough early part of their season. I think it's going to be a work in progress. They're going to struggle, and eventually they might turn it up. But that's clearly not happening now. They're fully starting to strip down and figure out that this is a rebuild. You remember when training camp ended? We all remember what happens at the end of training camp. Training camp is over. You're starting to set your 53-man roster. You cut a couple guys here and there. You put some guys on the practice squad. The Giants brought in 6 to 8 new guys off the street, free agents off the street, because their team – or those guys were better than the guys that were on their roster. You should have known. The signs have been there for a long time, despite the fact that Odell is a great player and Saquon is going to be going to turn into a really good player. They have some talent on the defensive side of the ball as well. But despite all Evan Ingram, et cetera, despite all of that, that move alone should have told you this team isn't ready to win. They can't win when you're bringing in six to eight guys just to start your season because other guys aren't good enough. Now, what we've learned is that what's been confirmed for some has been accepted by others and now learned is that Eli can't do it going forward. He athletically isn't at that point. And we had a lot of conversations last night, and I agree with you, BT, listening to that broadcast is dumbing.
Oh, boy.
It's frustratingly dumbing. And my guy, license plate guy, Joe Roebuck, got on the bookmobile because it blocked his view.
Oh, yeah?
When it was down in that certain end of the end zone. Like, he can't see the red zone.
Are you serious?
So you pay
for those seats at the Mercedes-Benz Dome because of the bookmobile?
You can't see the field? I'll show you his tweet. You can't see.
They put the screen.
They put like a video screen of what you're missing.
Are you serious? What, on the back of the bookmobile?
On the back of the bookmobile.
Oh, wow. Those are premium seats too.
But
wow.
BT, here's what a lot of was talking about, and it was the meme that became Pat Shurmur saying, "Throw it to Odell."
Yeah.
Right? Now, just to dissect that play a little bit, because I've had to run that play out of the backfield. You have to run it exactly flat, especially if the defender is trailing, because the angle gets taken away. Odell runs the angle a little bit too upfield, which takes away
the end zone,
going into the end zone as opposed to running parallel to the end zone,
towards the pylon.
Yeah, towards the pond, yeah. towards the sideline, yep. parallel towards the sideline, catching it and then diving forward into the end zone. That would have given Eli an angle. Mm-hmm. Now, Eli could have gotten him the ball, the picture that you tweeted out, and they got retweeted 2,000 times.
Got a little action last night.
It was awesome. But that shot, if Eli's throwing that ball right when that picture is taken, then
it's sick.
No it's doubt. Easy sick. It's stealing. The problem is Eli's not athletic enough to do that anymore. And he can't come out of that fake. Get his body turned and unprepared, make that throw. And I think that's what you speculated about to start the season. A lot of other pundits have talked about.
I've been saying it for 2 years, man.
I agree, but it hasn't been predicated on athleticism. It was more about, you know, does he have it in his arm anymore? Is the O-line going to protect him? Both of those answers are no. And now I think we realize this.
Yeah.
The question is, because you ask, well, I don't know if you ask it, but you said it before we started, how do you fix the Giants? They have to strip down the guys that aren't going to be there next year and start getting a kid like Kyle LaLetta some action, whether it's starting the game or probably now, BT. I mean, they're 1-6. What are they doing? What are you getting better for at this point to finish 5-11?
Yeah.
Like, you got to find out what next year is going to bring. You see this with the Raiders, even though the Raiders started at week one, basically. And when you get to this point in the season and you're this far below 500, five games from the Giants standpoint, you got to start looking forward to next season. You can you can still grow a little bit, but you got to start looking forward to what's next, not what's right now.
Okay. Okay, so let me digest a few things there. This is what I think that the focus should be on at this point. We're so far past Eli. It is what it is. We don't need to waste time on that. What I'm starting to notice, and this is not a good thing, and I've seen it before because I grew up in the city. You know, when you were playing in Virginia, I was growing up, you know, here watching all the sports, the coaches, the champions, the losers, the failed draft picks, the failed free agents, the firings, the signings, all the great and all the nonsense. If there's one thing that I'm pretty adept at when it comes to New York sports is looking at somebody's temperament and quickly discerning whether or not it's made for this city. And I do this for Pat Shurmur, for Coach Shurmur, because I like him. We've had him on the show. I know you caught up with him at the Super Bowl when he first got the job. He reached out to you, and, you know, I respect that as your partner. I think he's a good football man. But he's going down a road now that if you go too far down, you cannot go backwards because then there's a definitive opinion that is shaped. And he's becoming unlikable. He's becoming very quickly unlikable.
How so?
He's becoming very antagonistic and very aggressive and very combative with the New York media. And you know how many people have won that in the history of New York sports?
Nobody.
Zip. Ever. Nobody. And that includes guys who have won rings and guys who have been, you know, paid more than Pat and had more juice than Pat. I want to play, and I want to be fair because I want to play this. When this first went down, the sit down with Lil Wayne and with Josina and ESPN, little snippet came out midweek, and then they played the whole thing on Sunday. And of course, it came to a crescendo after the game when Coach Shurmur learned a little bit more about exactly what was said and what went down. And I actually lauded him. So I want to play because I don't want to seem like I'm kind of going against myself. I want to play this cut where I thought he had a good presence, a strong conviction to reset the course and the direction of the team. I thought it was necessary. This was actually good. This was October 7th. Go ahead, guys.
All right, listen, I'm going to answer all the drama questions right now. And I'm going to go back to what I said. All right? I addressed it with Odell. I addressed it with our team. I publicly declared that I didn't agree with his comments. And I asked anybody that was interested, if they wanted clarification, go to Odell because he's a big man. Now, I'm not going to give the public a pound of flesh on this, right? That would make me small, not strong. And these are the kind of things, in my opinion, when you have the locker room that we have, that will help galvanize them because the locker room took care of it. And that's all I'm saying on it. Finito. Done.
Okay. So that was October 7th. Still a little early, still a chance for the Giants to get that offense going and, you know, start. They had beaten the Texans at that point by then. You know, maybe the Giants can begin to reshape their season and salvage something. Then, of course, we, you know, we've seen what's transpired since, and they haven't won since the Texans game. Now, post-game last night. You know what, D'Cell, rather than comment on each of these, just play. These are three different clips, not too long. Play them in succession. Here's Coach Shurmur, who, by the way, now I have to be fair, had about as poor a game as an NFL head coach can have. He made mistakes that were so rudimentary, it was embarrassing. And then he takes this tone.
Are you guys putting too much, not on purpose, obviously, but are you guys putting, by byproduct of the offense, putting too much on the defense? This kind of reminded me of the Saints game.
No, we're not putting anything. The offense is charged to go out and score touchdowns every time they touch the ball. It's not like we're not trying to score to put pressure on the defense. I think that's, bear with me, I think that's kind of that's a crazy assertion. We're trying to go out and stop them on defense, and the attempt, and we got to do a better job of getting it in the end zone on offense.
You don't worry at some point if you keep saying the same thing over?
No. Did our guys not play hard? Did our guys not fight to the end? Did our guys do a lot of good things but not enough to win? Yes. So the encouragement is to keep doing it and do more things right. Done. That's it. And that's the message as you move forward. And right is right. We got to do enough to win a game.
There was a 3rd-and-2 play. I know you don't want to go through everything.
Yeah. And then we thought it was man. We're getting man. We got zone. And Saquon got knocked back.
Yeah.
That's a bad one. Anybody want to ask me about a good one? No, I'm talking to you. All right, let's talk about that.
There's nothing good to talk about. I mean, Coach, you wanted 6, dude. I mean,
I didn't find anything wrong with that. I thought he was being honest. He's been fair.
Okay. I like honesty. You know I appreciate honesty. I appreciate candor. I appreciate conviction. I appreciate a little jagged edge. I don't need everything to be smoothed out. I'm just telling you, because it happened to Ray Hanley, happened to Rich Kotite, happened to Derek Fisher differently, happened to Jeff Torborg, happened to Art Howe with the Mets. It happens. And I've seen this develop. It's like a 20-year veteran quarterback who can see the blitz coming.
Yeah.
I see it coming. It's coming.
But it fixes itself when the Giants start progressing. He's only 7 games in into this season.
He's not 7 games into an NFL head coaching
He's not,
career.
But he's 17, he 7 games in. He's 7 games
and
in
5-11.
As a New York Giant head coach.
Yep.
And they
and
knew.
He's already getting testy, which is my point.
He wasn't testy.
He was just
answering the questions. He's frustrated. Look, I got to believe that Dave Gettleman and Kevin Abrams have had a plan should this go awry. And we're starting to see a little bit of this with Eli Apple getting traded to the Saints. Not that he was an issue this season, but he was a big issue last season. And it starts to reshape this team. And teams in the National Football League, they can't afford a 2 or 3 year rebuild any longer. It has to happen immediately. That's why trades are so important. That's why this deadline, which is six days away, is so important. Now, just for the record, they're not going to try to lose. They're not going to try to tank. This is not like what John Gruden is apparently doing.
Nope.
Because the Giants don't operate that way. But I think they know.
I don't think any pro team does. They might put lesser players out there, but the one thing that a lot of fans mess up, because they're a little lazy, players are not going out there and losing on purpose.
No,
that is ridiculous.
No, not at all.
That but never happens.
It just feels like John Gruden doesn't care about winning right now. And he probably doesn't, to be honest with you, because it's not about winning for him right now. He's got a 10-year contract for $100 million. It's not about winning right now for John Gruden. It's about getting my team the way that I want my team to be. And whoever that excludes, you're going to be out the door. The Giants aren't going about it that way. It's more, these folks are part of our plan going forward. Mm. Who are they? We need to identify them in the next few weeks and make decisions based on that. That's the only thing that the Giants are doing right now. They know they're not making the postseason right now.
They're a mess.
But it's not. I guess I'm not emotional about it as a sports fan, as a fan of the Giants.
Because it's not about emotion. It's about looking at a team that's disgraceful.
I don't know. I don't know what anybody expected.
Well, if they didn't expect to win, why the hell did they give Nate Solder $30 million?
That is
sucks, by the way. Nate Solder's
a
human turnstile.
Terrible decision.
Terrible.
I mean, I'd have to go look at the details of that deal.
But it
might be less punitive than it seems.
It's not less punitive. They overpaid by him for 30%. It was a terrible deal. You know that. The bottom line is this. They looked at their team, and they said, we can squeeze out one more good season with Eli.
Yes, they were wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
And they were wrong.
So they were totally wrong in everything they thought.
So it's happened many times before. The question is not being wrong. It's what do you do about being wrong?
Well, I mean, there's an element of truth to that. Sure, of course, eventually you got to correct it. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's not my team, so I really don't care. I mean, I'm definitely not going to care more about the Giants than you do. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just telling you, I look at this team, and I'm like, John Mara has gone from, I think, the top of the mountain in New York to the bottom rung.
Not so sure about that.
Well, he hired McAdoo, yeah. Disaster, gave Odell Beckham a ton of money, passed on the quarterback at number two. I don't know if Shermer's the right guy. He allowed Jerry Reese to stay for 2 or 3 years too long. Jerry Reese was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, take the Giants have been a joke for more than a half a decade. A joke. Am I wrong?
They also won two championships over the last
That's a long
years.
Time ago.
Yeah.
That's but a long
still,
time ago.
Still.
Right.
And people would trade it.
So
I guarantee you.
All right, so let's make a deal. I would trade it as a Jets fan.
I know, you would.
But let's make a deal. Tell me when that expires. So tell me when I can start knocking the Giants around. You know what I mean? Tell me when that those championships, when that cachet expires.
Well, think about
that. I'll lay off.
But think about this. Next year, the Giants are going to have a new quarterback. So what are you expecting? You're expecting the, Ben Roethlisberger-type Super Bowl? What are you expecting? So my problem with all of this is that people had their expectations in the clouds because we have the Giants have two superstars. Saquon's going to be a superstar. Odell is already a superstar.
Yeah.
And so because of two players, I always say one player never makes a team. Two definitely don't either. It takes 10 at least or 12 guys who can play at a high level week in and week out. The Giants don't have that, right? And I knew it from the beginning of the season. They might grow into it, but they're not. By the way, Nate Solder is out. There's an out after the next season, so 2019 season. There's a big cap hit for next year, $24 million. So it was basically a two-year deal that they signed Nate Solder for. They took a shot because they thought Eli had a year left in him. He didn't. He just doesn't.
So now they're adjusting to the miscalculation. I
have faith that the Giants will do the right thing because I have faith in Dave Gettleman and I have faith in Kevin Abrams. Now,
you have faith in Shermer?
I don't know Pat Shermer other than having met him a couple of times.
Yep.
But I do know that if there's someone I'm going to put faith in, it's those guys. Now, I have a personal relationship with all of them, so I'm biased, obviously.
Sure.
But I'm not willing to say this was an unmitigated disaster and the worst franchise in the history of the National Football League because they're going through a very poor and low point in their history, really. Because if you go back to 2 years ago, no, not even last year. When was the last time the Giants were 3-13?
Giants hadn't had a pick that high in a long time. No, I understand that.
Ike was probably the last one when Ike was, and that was 7.
Most of my life, I viewed the Giants as a platinum franchise.
Agreed.
I mean, platinum because they earned it.
And I can't throw that away because they made a bad decision about a coach 2 years ago that is having repercussions, and with the GM, by the way, because they held on to Jerry Reese too long.
Yeah. And I also think it's some personnel issues, and so I think it's a little more than that. But
no, you're right.
I mean, it's going to take a lot to fix this.
I know it is.
It's going to take a lot to fix this, and hopefully Giants fans are patient. I mean, there's no Band-Aids in the NFL. In the NBA, you can get one guy, and you can go from 37 wins. You get the right guy, you can win 48 or 50.
It's easy.
It is pretty easy. The Giants tried to microwave it. I'll give them credit here. They know that it's a miscalculation. They're starting to sell off assets, and they can begin the rebuild here. But and aside from that, just the game was terrible. 0-0 for too long.
It was ugly,
my God. Listen, that was a rough night to watch football.
It's funny. Sometimes football is great. Sometimes this year it's been unwatchable.
So here, true. So here's the question. We can get to this coming up next here. Should the, you know, I don't think the Giants will trade Eli. I certainly know that they would get his consent if they ever did.
They have to.
No question. They're not going to do him dirty again. They did him dirty. It was executed poorly last year. We all know that. But if you're the Jaguars, would you even want Eli at this point? Like, if Eli can't put points up with Beckham and those guys, is he going to put points up with the Jags without Fournette? Let me kick that around because there's a lot of players being dealt, and it's a shifting dynamic in the NFL. I think they're going to get a few calls on Eli. 855-212-4227. We'll get to LeBron stuff, World Series as well. Get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn, like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere? You feel like you got to have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. On this Tuesday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. If anybody is able to find out if they have been able to possibly get to the bottom of what the hell the foam zone is, can somebody please enlighten me, and somebody please tweet me?
I don't know
what that was.
I'm curious as well. Please let
Witten's
me know.
Like this, Tessitore's like this. What's going on here? What was that?
I have no idea. They're experimenting a lot.
I mean, their experimentation is good. I mean, you know, you got to modernize the broadcast, but maybe with limits here, guys.
Yeah, I got to hear you. Like the book, like the Boogmobile.
The Boogmobile. Da 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 Boogmobile.
Yeah, those are expensive seats. You're getting the back end of a big structure. That's, I mean, that's just not. I'd be pissed.
Tiki showed me the picture that you described on the first segment there, and so it's again, it's an interesting concept for Booger, who I like. I think actually Booger's pretty honest and
right.
Pretty direct.
Oh, he was great
when he's
on radio. When he was on in Tampa on radio, he was awesome.
Yeah, and I always liked him with Mike and Mike. He was always pretty good with those guys. I always liked Booger, but I don't know that the dynamics of the broadcast are set up for everybody to flourish.
They're not.
I mean, I'm just trying to be nice. Yeah. I really don't believe that they are, and I don't think most people do. But when you showed me the Booger Mobile, I didn't even realize. I mean, I know it's mobile, which is part of the appeal, kind of in a sense of the line of scrimmage. But this thing's massive because he's big.
Exactly.
And so if you got a seat at the 22-yard line, you try to see, you know, Matty Ryan or whomever, Eli, you know, what's going on? Is that Odell? Is that Ridley? Who is that? You can't see.
You can't see.
So they've got a TV on the back. I almost didn't believe you.
Right.
You showed it to me. It's ridiculous.
It is. This is what you're missing by looking into the back of the Boogmobile.
I might as well stay home and watch it on my couch.
It's happening right on the other side of this TV, but it's right here.
I mean, but I have to go to the bathroom. At least, you know, I could just go 3 feet to my right and in my house.
Instead of walking all the way up the stairs, getting bumped around,
happening
to be in a visiting stadium like LPG.
Between what you miss going to the bathroom and what you miss with the Boogmobile, you get to see no football.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
Stay at home and have a much less expensive beer.
That's true. It's actually pretty cheap there. They are pretty good with that
at the Mercedes-Benz
Dome.
It's cheap.
Yeah, they're good.
Cheaper.
Like the $2 menu. They're actually really good with that. All right, we got inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a few minutes. The Bears, they're on the list here. Something about Mitch Trubisky, something on the Raiders. An NBA prospect taking an interesting route. And also the Mets would possibly a very unique GM hire that is not done yet.
So you went into the break, BT, talking about the Jaguars and Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the relationship with Tom Coughlin makes this plausible. People think it is, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things. One, Eli has a no-trade clause, so he'd have to waive that,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think at 37 years old he's going to waive a no-trade to go play somewhere else. I think he'll want to stay the course here. I don't know how much imploring Dave Gettleman or John Mara or whoever are going to do to say, hey, let us get you out of here.
So don't you think it helps, though, that Peyton played elsewhere, too, who was at the game last night?
Yes, yes.
Hey, little bro, you can finish up strong here, pal.
But Peyton went somewhere where he knew he was going to be successful because of the defense there, and he was on a mission to prove himself again. I don't think Eli's on a mission to prove himself right now. So
it should be.
I agree. I agree.
Okay.
But there's the dynamic is just a little bit different.
I would agree with that. It's a different dynamic. That's fair.
Number two, and the Jaguars have said they've had no interest in Eli. Number two, the Jaguars are the exact same situation as the Giants. Their O-line is banged up and terrible. Cam Robinson's hurt.
Yeah.
He might be out for the year. Adam Lavitre, he's banged up with an injury as well. So, I mean.
And they have inferior perimeter weapons.
Exactly.
They really have
there's
substandard
no
wide receivers.
There's no Odell.
No.
I mean, I like.
There's no Ingram. There's no Shepard.
Nope. I mean,
there's not.
The running back is hurt. And even when Leonard Fournette is playing, he's not Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
no,
I mean?
No, definitely
so
not. Barkley's tremendous.
It just doesn't make sense for anyone to do this. So if the Jaguars went, and plus the system they run is very different than what Eli has done his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrod Taylor is more apt to be traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars than Eli Manning is, because it doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know if the Browns could do that with the risk of Baker getting hurt or something like that. You know what I mean? So they,
you got to have somebody viable behind them, exactly, just in case the heat gets a little bit too hot in the kitchen. And the way the Browns might be going here, it might become a little hotter.
Yeah.
With Hugh, who seems to be feeling himself again for some reason. I don't know what I mean.
Boy, talk about playing close games. I mean, yeah, they're almost winning.
We almost won. We almost won. We almost won.
It's about to be better than being an ofer.
Seriously, or one for.
No, they're definitely more
much
competitive.
More competitive.
Significantly better team, but still, you got to win.
Just don't think Hugh's going to be there when they actually start winning these games.
Yeah, it sucks.
Right?
You know, it really does suck.
Can't
for
be alone on
because they're going to get good.
Yeah, they are.
And
Denzel Ward was a hell of a pick at number four.
I think that might have been one of the best picks of the draft.
You know what's crazy? We've given out like quarter awards on a little past quarter poll awards on tops this past week, and
he's got to be defensive rookie of the year.
He was my choice for rookie of the year over Sam Darnold. He's got three or four picks. He leads. Yeah, I mean, all rookies,
he's disruptive.
He's been from play one
exactly
of the season.
You're right.
You know, against a good offensive team with the Steelers, he's been great. And they were, you know, roundly chastised for what do you think of a quarterback? Because everybody thought you take the quarterback, you take Saquon, some combination,
or
maybe Quentin Nelson,
or Chubb, the D end. Yeah.
But they were roundly criticized because they haven't earned the right in a court of public opinion. I get that.
Yeah.
They've made so many mistakes, a litany of mistakes, that they haven't earned the benefit of the doubt until they do.
But it obviously makes sense. I mean, Ohio State's right around the corner. They saw this kid constantly.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the news constantly. So scouting is, I mean, it's simple.
Right down the road.
Right, it's right down the road.
Or it could be up the road, but it's somewhere in the vicinity of up or down the road.
It's close.
It ain't far. We got inbounds, out of bounds coming up, T. Good menu. I read a few of the topics before. We'll get to the World Series top of the hour. Here's a question for you. And I'll weave this in a little more effectively. Just let this marinate for a sec, because it seems like an obvious, almost a dumb question. Who's got more pressure, all right? Kershaw to deliver a World Series to the Dodgers, finally, or LeBron to actually deliver the Lakers a playoff spot? Lakers haven't won yet, by the way. I mean, they're winless.
I know
to point that out.
I know it.
So we'll get to that as
Magic's got a lot of issues going on with his two franchises.
A little bit. Chris Harris, the Denver Broncos defensive back, and also we'll expound 5 o'clock more on the Lakers and their situation. Rough start, 0-3. They lost again last night. LeBron coming up small at the free throw line. But inbounds, out of bounds is after the update, and we'll get that right now from Darwin Zook. Here he is. CBS, the Super Bowl season continues Sunday with coast-to-coast collisions. Cleveland and the Steelers hook up in an AFC North showdown. The Jets fly to Chicago to take on the Bears. Denver and Kansas City duke it out in an AFC West matchup. Baltimore battles the Panthers and Carolina. Colts taking on the Raiders out in the East Bay in Oakland, the town. The day kicks off the NFL today, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Week 8 already, my God.
God, the Steelers and the Browns, the last couple of years, those have been good matchups. They don't beat them badly, even though they've been a superior team.
True.
And in fact, we know what happened in week one. They tied. That's going to be a good one. The Browns are at this point where they've lost two.
Mm-hmm.
They played better in the second half against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, they were getting waxed early. That was an ugly game.
That was ugly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But they found a way to make it tight and almost won it in overtime. I'm so interested about the character of the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to determine, as we've talked about a couple times already, what the hell happens with you.
Yeah,
it could get. What if they just go on a win streak? What if they win like 6 games in a row?
I don't think
it's going
to
happen, but what if it does?
No, then he's got to retain his job.
Exactly.
You got to be fair to the man, right?
Well,
they've already been probably unnecessarily fair incredibly fair and overly fair.
Yes.
But if he were to rip off 6 in a row, 5 of 7 to finish the season, based on what they were a year ago, the right move would be, provided there's no internal strife with any, you bring him back at that point.
You got
to be fair, right?
Dorsey doesn't want that, though.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially what happened with, although he went out of his way to kind of dispel that, the whole situation. This was yesterday, Sunday night yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if we're not performing offensively, I've got to put my hands in the offensive playbook. This is what I did. You know, this is how I made my name. I'm going to go back to the word, and we'll get to inbounds out of bounds here, but I'm going to go back to a description of Hugh that I used during Hard Knocks, and it's just insecure. He just strikes me as insecure and probably unnecessarily insecure.
I would say unnecessary because he doesn't need to be.
No, strictly speaking in the football sense.
Yep.
Insecure.
You're right.
like that whole power play in the coach's room on Hard Knocks, and I don't know, maybe I'm giving Hard Knocks too much, but that jumped out. We talked about it the next day. The little flare up now, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think they're going to get waxed, actually, by the way. Not to say they don't have character, because directly, you know, you said you want to see what kind of character they have. I don't mean that I believe that they will get beat up because they don't have character. I just believe that Pittsburgh's starting to get going now.
Yeah,
between the Browns getting hosed with, against the Raiders when they gave up 40-plus points. They got crushed at home to the, by the Chargers. West Coast to East Coast, they got licked up in that game hard. They were down a couple of scores against Tampa. Yeah, they showed character coming back, but they really weren't ready to play there. I think the Steelers are going to step on them. Yeah. But I could be wrong. We'll see. Are you ready for some inbounds, out-of-bounds take?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Tiki, so the Chicago Bears now 3-3, currently last in the NFC. No, boy, that's a tough division.
I just
said that.
Like, at 3-3 is last? I mean, that division's competitive. Maybe good, but definitely competitive.
I would, as a baseline starting point, I'll go with competitive for sure, and probably good. But they're playing like a playoff caliber team, thanks to Khalil Mack. Although he's had a little quiet last couple of games, he's a little quiet. And the emergence of Mitch Trubisky. So after a rough start, Trubisky now over 1,000 yards passing, he's got 13 touchdowns total, 11 in his last three games, while hitting on over 70% of his passes. Yesterday, head coach Matt Nagy defended his young quarterback after criticism about his play and his 52% completion rate against the Pats.
Going back and watching tape, he played as I thought. He played a game better than most people think he played. See, early in the game, there's some throws that look like he missed them, but he missed them because the guy wasn't open, and it's more of a throwaway. And so that's where, to the outsider, it looks like he's inaccurate, when really he's just trying to get the ball away because we weren't winning outside. And so Mitchell also understands that he gets all the blame in those type of situations.
You know, what's interesting about that, we're really saying, is he's got nice aptitude there, nice awareness.
Yeah.
If he's telling the truth.
But if he's not open, why even throw it to him? Throw it out of bounds.
Yeah, that's true.
Why risk putting it anywhere near the guy if it could potentially be a turnover or something?
That's what happens in year three.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still in year two here, Teague. So, in or out, Trubisky's one of the seven most... Okay, this is interesting. He's one of the seven most promising quarterbacks under the age of 25.
Yeah, this is tough. This was a tough one, BT, because
there's
so many
stipulations there.
I know. So Mahomes, obviously, is, I'm saying out of bounds.
Out of bounds.
And I have on my list Mahomes,
Ada,
Darnold.
Go ahead.
I left off the Joshes, Rosen and Allen, and I still got seven before him. Wentz, Goff.
Wentz is 25. He's going to be 26 in December.
Okay, but under 25.
No, he's going to be 26
okay,
in December.
Okay, I put Wentz there. But so if Wentz isn't there, then maybe I'll put Trubisky.
Wentz does. He's 26 in December.
Goff, Jameis.
The question says under the age of 25.
Yeah, that means 25 and younger.
No,
Lamar
means,
Jackson.
Oh,
Baker Mayfield. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. You got Watson.
So that is... I'm going to say out of bounds. But just barely.
Okay.
Just barely.
We're kind of singing the same tune. Although I say inbounds, I probably have them only because I'm reading the question probably a little bit more effectively than you are. So I don't go with Wentz, although Wentz is great. Wentz will be 26 in December. I almost took it.
I forget he's so old. You know what I mean?
You know, it's not his second year. It's his third year. Yeah. He played 4 years in school.
Yep.
Obviously, Mahomes, Jared Goff, Darnold showing great promise, Deshaun Watson. Put Baker, that's five. I don't have Rosen. I don't have Allen. Winston was tricky for me, but I got to be honest. Looking at Winston, where he is and how long he's played, much longer than Trubisky in terms of game action, I didn't give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm going to say inbounds. It's close. Hey, bottom line is this. He's on pace for 35 touchdowns, 4,300 yards, and a little more than 7.5 yards a pop, which isn't great, but it's certainly not overly pedestrian.
No.
Inbounds, but it's really close. He's a good athlete,
too. Also have to remember what kind of offense they're running, right? So they're not throwing the ball way downfield all the time. It's a lot of crossing routes with Tariq Cohen
and everything else.
So it's less wide open and more West Coast.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are you in or are you out?
The Raiders, a little bit of a mess here, losing 5 of 6, trading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, now plays running back Marshawn Lynch on the IR. Reports now say, this is an interesting story, that teammates have lost confidence in Derek Carr, partly because of his play. All right, that happens all the time in the NFL. And partly because he appeared to cry. What? After a hit last week against Seattle. So while the team is scuffling, new head coach John Gruden has stockpiled 5 first-rounders over the next 2 seasons, in or out. Despite the criticism, Gruden has made the right moves to set the team up for long-term success.
I think he has. And by the way, Derek Carr has refuted that report that he was crying. He said he was yelling, get me up, and he came off the field. And if he had a wince on his face that may have looked like he was crying, you go out there and get jumped on by a 295-pound defensive tackle after you've gotten undercut by a linebacker. That, you know what, hurts. Trust me, it hurts.
I'll definitely take your word for it. I implore all of our audience members to do the same thing.
Exactly.
It hurts.
Oh, here's what you do. Go walk up your ladder, because everybody has a ladder. Go about 15 rungs.
And jump.
And jump, and then have the ladder fall on top of you. That's what it feels like.
Oh, my God.
It feels better than that, actually.
Sadly, that's probably like a 90% approximation, too.
Exactly.
That's not a real embellishment.
Exactly.
I don't know how you guys
do
it.
So, despite the criticism, is he taking the right approach? I'm saying inbounds. I think John Gruden is rightly realized early, probably even before the game started, that this isn't the team that's going to go anywhere. Let's remake it. And he's remaking it, and he's going to be able to do it with a lot of draft picks. Now, you got to get those right, as we talked about.
Yep.
But I'm saying, I think he's doing the right thing now.
Uh-huh.
Early on, I was criticizing him. But now, I think he's making the right moves here.
You know, too often in our business, we're reluctant to go back on a point we established a while ago if we might be wrong.
Good point.
And we have no problem doing this. I mean, listen, I haven't liked the Raiders for 2.5 years. You've known that.
Yep.
I have never liked the way they're set up. I thought they were vastly overrated. Still, having said that, I was all over Gruden for giving away Mac. Not giving away, but getting rid of Mac. Now that you start to see the whole plan come into shape, and you'll get guys with controllable first-year pick, you're going to have to pay Cooper if you wanted to keep him. You would have had to pay Mac. It would have had real imbalance. This sets you up, if you pick the right people, to be great. If you strike on, just give me not even 80, not, give me 70% of the hits. You'll be really good for a long time. I think the vision is clear, and I actually think it's a good one. I say inbounds. I agree with you.
Are you in or are you out?
This is a pretty cool story. Different curve here.
Yeah, so, Baisley getting it done.
This is interesting. Darius Baisley, NBA prospect. He's had an interesting road so far. So he committed, then he decommitted to play for Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, then to play in the G League. But now he's decided against going to the NBA Developmental League. Now he's chosen not to play hoops this season at all, and he signed a potentially multi-million dollar deal with New Balance. That will pay him $1 million this year to essentially serve as a marketing intern. What? Until he becomes... Is he going to practice basketball? Until he becomes eligible for the draft in 2019. Okay. In or out. Between the new G League commitment to prospects, the eventual elimination of the one and done.
Mm-hmm. Which is coming.
Which is coming. Various pro options for players and multiple scandals and lawsuits. College hoops is... in major jeopardy.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because there's always going to be great coaches in college basketball. You see it with Coach K. You see it with Tony Bennett. They're all over, right? And so there's going to be 4-star guys that aren't going to take this route to skip college and go directly to the National Basketball Association or go into the G League. So I'm going to state this is out of bounds. College basketball is going to be just fine. But there's going to be a handful of guys like Darius Baisley who are risking team development. Right, there's something about learning team basketball from a coach like Coach K or Cal or or Tony Bennett or whoever it may be that serves you once you get to the NBA. I don't know where they're going to make that up. That's my only concern, but I'm saying out of bounds. It's not going to affect college grossly.
Yeah, I'm going to say out of bounds as well because, you know, if this was a radical shift, like guys were playing for 3 years and then all of a sudden this was just thrust on us, it'd be like, wow, the familiarity, the rivalries, it would really be a real quick decay, and you might not recover from that. You know, the only thing I will say is, like, you know, Coach K, Coach Boeheim, they're getting older. Patino, he's already gone. Calhoun stepped away a couple years back.
Good point.
Those figures, the Titans, Calipari's still relatively young, but, you know, Sean Miller's young, Jay Wright's young. Your guy, Virginia's young. Bennett, hopefully, he's there for a long time. He's great. I say out of bounds because there's a communal pride that infiltrates college sport. And this isn't me being overly altruistic. It really just is a great thing that you can't replicate. So I'm with you. I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Sandy Alderson stepping down as the GM for the Mets health concern, so we certainly hope that he's okay.
Yeah.
The Mets have narrowed down their GM search to 3 candidates, one of whom, his name is Brody Van Wagenen. Now, the choice of Van Wagenen's interesting because he's the agent for the Mets' ace, Jacob DeGrom. in or out, the Mets hiring DeGrom's agent as their new GM would be in or out.
This is out of bounds, BT. We also talked about he's Cespedes' his agent as well.
Yeah,
so it's like a gross conflict of interest because those aren't two guys that the Mets are going to just say peace out to.
Mm-hmm. They'd like to say peace out to Cespedes,
yeah,
but Cespedes, they can't.
You know what I mean? But, you know, like, but DeGrom, they're not moving him. And so you kind of would. This is out of bounds. There's too many question marks that would arise from this in the short term. Long term, it'd probably be okay. But he's got to divorce himself from what he's been doing for a living.
He'd probably have to divest himself from those contracts, I would think. I mean, listen, I actually think this is incredibly a real forward thought for the Mets when they usually don't have any. They're stuck in a cave. They're hoping that the 1969 comes back here. He was the head, or he has been the head of CAA Baseball's operation since 2010.
Oh, wow.
Keep in mind, Bob Myers, GM of the Warriors, former agent. Rob Pelinka, runner of the Lakers, former agent. It's an interesting trend here that I think is interesting enough to bring him in and see if he can sell you on his vision. I actually like this. And you might get a little hometown discount for DeGrom. Let's face it, he wants to keep his best pitcher on his team.
Yeah, true, but he's got arbitration for the next couple of years.
I understand that, but he could always get a long-term deal and save $7, $8, $9, $10 million.
That's a good point.
And for the Mets, that's like $100 million. Hour two coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.